news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super glad to see everyone on the radio. Thank you for joining us. Time for an interview. In the studio with us now, can I say retired Colonel Jody Auker with us? Is that okay?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Air Force Colonel, Sunbury native, Shikellamy graduate, Sunbury City Administrator.
Correct.
Tell us, we haven't had a chance to really sit down too much with you. Tell me about your career in the military. As I remember, you were a nurse, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I joined the Air Force right after graduating from Bloomsburg University with my bachelor's degree in nursing. Just recruited and thought, well, why not? And didn't intend to make it a career, but, you know, one assignment leads to another, one opportunity leads to another, and all of a sudden you have 10 years in. You think, well, that wasn't too bad. Let's go ahead and do 20. And then you start moving up into some leadership positions. So I really, it was the best fit for me. Enjoyed all the changes, enjoyed all the travel. And so from joining as a second lieutenant, did various kinds of nursing, and then promoted into leadership positions, flight commander of an emergency department, then a squadron commander, a chief nurse at a hospital, the commander of a medical group, that which is a big clinic of more than 350 personnel, variety of services, and then all the way up to air combat command, where I was the chief of the medical operations division for the entire command, which was included 11 medical treatment facilities, and also the expeditionary deployment mission, and then and also the command nurse. So I was the chief nurse of the entire command.
So any observer in the city of Sunbury would have to watch what's happening and say you're a natural born leader who's really helping out.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I do like to feel like I'm contributing positively to anything around me.
Well, and I'm going to disclose something you said to me in the lobby, that even if you don't stay in this position in the well into the decades ahead, you know, year after year after year after year, you want this position to work. You want the city administrator job to be a great job. It's a new title in Sunbury. You want that to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the council instituted this position after a great thought and consideration. They decided that that's what they want, the direction they wanted to go for, leading the organization of the municipal services. And I think it's important that that position, it's going to take some time to transition, and it's important for the position to succeed. This doesn't have to do with Jody Auker. This has to do with the structure of your municipal government and how municipal services are delivered.
And it's the right fit. Council thought this would be the right fit. You agree that this can work in the years ahead to help Sunbury stay efficient and forward moving?
Yeah, I really think it can. Previously, each department, of course, department head ran their own department, and it tended to be really stovepiped. This will give an opportunity for each council member in their department and the council as a whole to set the direction, set the policy. These are the things we want to accomplish. And then hand that off to the city administrator and the departments to kind of make it happen. And I think that sometimes if the council would make a decision, sometimes the implementation might have fallen apart because there wasn't somebody in a position that was making sure everything stayed on task and on target.
So more accountability, more collaboration, more communication, more efficient?
Right, yeah. I think it's important to look at the municipal services not as individual departments, but as an organization as a whole. And in order for an organization to perform most efficiently, there has to be cross-utilization, there has to be collaboration, there has to be a lot of communication. So you can't have one department doing one thing that inadvertently is causing an issue in another department or interfering or in conflict with. At the same time, you want to see where are there opportunities to work together, get some synergy going, and actually be able to accomplish more than you could have individually.
For example,
this year we had more cooperation between the code administration office. This has to do with addressing blighted properties. So and the Department of Public Works, and some of the Department of Public of Parks and Rec as well, personnel participated, where code office would identify those properties that have are on the nuisance list that are really in poor condition, very overgrown, lots of trash and everything on the property that really is interfering with the quality of life of the neighbors. And the homeowners have been given plenty, the property owners have been given plenty of notice and plenty of time to clean it up themselves. There is a provision in the city ordinances that the city can take action if the property owner doesn't. So we devised a way to communicate those issues among the departments, decide on what needed to be done, and then go out there, clean it up, and we have are able to charge for the manpower hours, the equipment that's used, then the disposal of the trash and debris, and then that whole bill is presented to the property owner. They can either pay it or there can be a lien against the property whenever the property is finally sold or dispositioned. So in that way, we were, eyesores are a terrible blight on the city, of course, and the people that have to live next to them and have mice or cats or infestations and have to look at it every day, they shouldn't have to.
You don't get mice and cats. I will add this real quick.
That's true.
Good point. Okay, but anyway.
But
vermin.
But you want to make it look better at least, even though it hasn't been, there hasn't been a final resolution to the property itself.
Okay, and Sunbury does this redevelopment effort where properties are either taken over or somehow purchased for next to nothing, or resold with a proviso that the new owner fix them up and meet not only a stay in compliance, but do so in a time frame. There's a time frame add-on to that.
Correct. Yeah, they have to submit a plan that will bring ultimately the property up to code. And then they have to show that they're making progress on that plan. We've had some several success stories this year. There's probably about half a dozen or so that came off the nuisance property list because they were purchased, somebody fixed them up, and they were inspected, and then they were good to go and taken off the list.
Well, you said something interesting also before we went on the air, that Sunbury's just full of good people doing good things. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. There's a lot of positive things going on in Sunbury. We have an outstanding YMCA, a YMCA art center. We have the Degenstein Library. We have the SRI. We have many other United Way located there, all doing incredible work in the city. And I like to emphasize that those positive things are going on. And I think recently we established a Sunbury Community Partnership Forum. And this was part of the effort that I wanted to undertake to move forward on our comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan that was adopted by council in 2012 really needed to be pushed to get put into motion and actually go after and accomplish some of the objectives and tasks in that plan. So pulling different parts of the community, a cross-section of the community and stakeholders together. We have the Shikellamy School District Superintendent, Dr. Bendel, is involved. We have United Way, the Housing Authority, county comes to our meetings, sometimes Representative Culver or someone from her staff, Senator Gordon or someone from his staff. We all get together and talk about what we're doing, and in that way, we took a look at the plan, say, what are we already doing? And then that with that communication, someone on one side of the table go, oh, you're doing that? Well, this is how I can contribute to that. I didn't know that was happening. Or, then they start networking. And so we can get more momentum going to get progress so that we're all rowing together towards the same goals.
Sunbury Community Partnership Forum. What might be an example of the way the city is slightly different today than it was yesterday because of the forum and their work?
I think that it's mainly the communication and the relook at the comprehensive plan. When we sat down the first meeting, we are using DCED representative, Ted Ritzik is his name, has come and helped to facilitate in the beginning. And we brainstormed on what are the issues going on in Sunbury. Then we on the other side of the table, it was what are we already doing? And then we found that those things kind of grouped naturally into three kind of focused areas. One is workforce and education opportunities, another is economic development, and another is community and diversity. So there's a lot of things that have to happen all together at the same time. You can't just focus on one thing or another, but a lot of things need to be worked on at the same time in order to get that momentum toward economic development. So now each of those groups will work on focused issues, and then we come back to the forum. Right now we're meeting once a month and talk about those, that progress. I just had a conversation with the DCED representative Ted Ritzik last evening, and he said it's time for the training wheels to come off, that take this group forward and let him know when there's any more additional help he can provide as we set more specific goals and tasks. We used that group to bring in representative from Pennsylvania Downtown Center, and also our regional DCED director, and talking about what opportunities there are out there for programs and funding. So we hope to, you know, grasp onto some very specific objectives and tasks for the coming years, and then pursue them and show progress.
All right, well, we're going to keep this conversation going. I'm going to ask about, again, elaborate, what are the deliverables that we'll see in 2020 from this partnership? We'll also talk about some of the new businesses in the downtown. The former Celotex site and UPMC closure are in the news, so we can talk about those with Jody Auker, the Sunbury City Administrator, just slightly less than a year in office, but already making a big difference, helping to glue all of the forward thinkers together in Sunbury. So it's all good. So we're going to talk to her at 7:40 this morning.
On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center, the fabulous. No argument there. Mr. Matt Cotrillo's in the newsroom. He says the usual slow spots at the usual places is what we're experiencing right now, so no change there. So we'll keep you posted traffic-wise. In the studio, I'm glad to say we're halfway through our interview with Jody Auker. She's the city administrator in Sunbury. She's been in that position since January. City Council decided that that type of a position could work and would lead to more collaboration and efficiency and communication, and she works for council and with the department heads and is trying to make good things happen in the city. And this is a model that's working in Sunbury, you would say?
I would say I think it's really moving in the right direction. because I've been able to, as we go along, issues come up. I can look at the ordinances. I can look at Pennsylvania law. I can take counsel with the solicitor and just make sure that the proper administration of city business occurs.
And what's a normal day for you?
Normal days. I have kind of public walk-in hours. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's 8 to 10. Tuesday and Thursday, it's 2 to 4. But really, almost anybody can stop in at any time. I usually have a list of things that I want to get done that day, which generally goes out the window by the first hour. But I'm answering emails. I am checking on the departments and seeing if they need anything for the day. I am answering questions from the public. I'm working with code enforcement officers about what's going on with some of the properties. Working on grants, getting ready to submit a couple of grants very soon for some projects on Susquehanna Avenue and the north end of town. A lot of things, I guess.
Okay. Now we're used to the city clerk's office. You go through both sets of double doors, and they're on the right. But you set your office elsewhere in the city hall.
It's directly across the hall. So in the double doors, and on the left is my hall.
Okay. So you do have a separate office.
I do have a separate office. Yeah.
Rather than be in and amongst the folks that are assisting to make all of this happen, including the city clerk, very, very important job. We talked about a lot of superlative things that are happening. We have to deal with the UPMC closure now. So tell us what has happened since that announcement came down.
Right. I think when the announcement came down initially, there was, you know, a gut reaction. City officials were taken by surprise and kind of upset by that. We didn't know that this was a possibility or that it was imminent. And but rightfully so, UPMC sent out a notification to their employees and immediately followed that with a press release. And then shortly thereafter started calling some city and county officials. Bob Kane called me personally that morning. You know, immediately you're concerned about, oh my gosh, what are we going to do without this hospital? What is it going to mean for emergency services? What is it going to mean for behavioral health, addictions, all of the things that we use that hospital for? And so, you know, my concern was, is this going to be a huge impact for our residents for access to care? Bob Kane said, you know, we're ready to have additional discussions. You know, there's kind of a feeling that maybe they just did this because of the tax, county tax decision. Maybe they are just trying to get some leverage. But honestly, once we talked to them, we had a meeting with them, they met with city officials, county officials, and the school district on Tuesday and talked about more of the market challenges they were facing and the deficits they were looking at, millions of dollars of deficit operationally in the on the horizon. So I understand why they had to make the decision that they made. Now I think we need to move on to an objective assessment about what the real impact is. You know, we talked about people were concerned about emergency services and tacking on 20 to 30 minutes to get to emergency services. And the reality was that ambulances would bypass Sunbury anyway if they had like what we call a code 3 medical or trauma emergency, lights and sirens, because Sunbury didn't have all the capabilities that would have been needed for that emergency. So ambulances would go to Evan or Geisinger instead. So that means that what was coming wasn't a life-threatening, where time is of the essence, always kind of deal. They were only seeing 900 patients per month in their emergency department, which is pretty low, and emergency departments are expensive to keep going. As far as inpatient, you know, their bed occupancy was really low. They let us know they only had 4% of the market, so most people were going elsewhere for their hospital care anyway. And so that's just the reality they were dealing with. And now I think it's an opportunity, actually, for the city in this immediate area to think about what is really needed. Are there gaps that we're not able to get in this immediate area that this building could be useful? And it's going to take some creative thought. It might not necessarily be another community hospital. There's plenty of hospital capacity between Evan, Geisinger, and Shamokin that it would cause more of a problem. There would be excess bed capacity, if you will. So
if you opened an acute care facility that really would take anybody that can make it there, kind of thing.
Right. So what might make sense is an urgent care, but that only occupies a certain amount of space. What else could go in that space? How can we maximize some collaboration? What makes sense to go in there that might work together? So it's very early in the stage to figure out what that might be, but the first step is trying to assess what the actual impact is going to be on our local residents.
And so therefore asking what might happen to that building is premature. I mean, who owns it, who runs it, how's it
right.
work?
So UPMC has told us they're open to discussions with anyone that's interested in that building. There's nothing that's off the table. I know that the skilled nursing and rehab facility has a lease in that building. They will stay there and continue to operate. And they want to continue to operate there. So right now, it's really difficult to say what the future of that building. But what we don't want is another large vacant facility building in Sunbury. We have enough of those.
Okay, so that won't help, but something can occupy there. There are unmet healthcare needs in Sunbury, so therefore something could help meet those. More meetings, more conversations coming up?
Right, we're getting some local kind of stakeholders, people that have experience with the healthcare needs, the needs of our residents in Sunbury and surrounding areas, getting some of those together so that we can, again, use a objective way to look at the data and see where the gaps might be caused, and do we need to do anything immediately to address that during the transition, and also where might the opportunities lie.
All right. Well, we'll sit in the back row when feasible and call you the next day when necessary, and we'll continue to monitor this. So please, and help us to stay informed on this if you can. The city has a comprehensive strategic plan. Now, this will be separate from the Sunbury Community Partnership Forum, this partnership forum that you're doing that is a different group, but the comprehensive strategic plan effort. Tell us about that.
Well, let me clarify. So the council recently just... this Monday, decided to go ahead with participation in DCED's Department of Community and Economic Development's Strategic Management Planning Program. Now, this program has grown out of and has replaced what was called the Early Intervention Program before. And what it does for us is, initially, there's a deep dive assessment of the city's kind of financial status, their operations, including, you know, how we provide services, staffing, and a look ahead, not only at our financial status today, but for the next 5 years. And then they make recommendations for how we can best improve that status over time. Now, that initial assessment is done by a consultant. We all have already received two proposals that we're considering at this time. And then they'll do that, and then that's only the first phase of the program. And the payment for that consultant is a 70-30 split with the state. So the state will pay 70% of that cost. The city will pay only 30%, which is a great cost savings to the city. In fact, we can also use some of our, if we have to provide data, if I'm pulling together information for the consultant team, my time is put against that that 30% that we owe. So we can do in-kind as far as in addition to actual cash. So, and then it doesn't stop there. Based on the recommendations, we are then eligible to continue in the program, continue with that 70-30 split for any follow-on phases. So if a recommendation comes, for instance, that the city needs to upgrade its entire computer system and software, it could be very expensive for the city, but it's in the recommendation and part of the program, we can get that again at that 70-30 split. So it would enable the city to move forward on some things and progress that we would have financially been unable to do ourselves.
Okay, well, we're going to watch for more on that. We know that we have just a minute left, so we want to talk about the police facility before I let you go. What's the status of that? It kind of fell on the wayside.
So I'm very excited that the council did approve the last steps of the feasibility study by the architects. So the architects will present us with some final design, more refined designs than what their initial proposals were. And at then after that, they will also provide us an opinion of probable cost. So with that, we can go forward and look to see if we can find some funding.
This is for three locations, as I recall.
So actually, this is a focus on specifically the city warehouse, which is on Chestnut Street. We have focused down from those three options we had considered originally, we have focused down onto this warehouse option, which is exciting because if it's, you know, a warehouse, it doesn't really has a good appearance in that neighborhood. But if we were able to afford the renovation, which the very initial ballpark was about $1 million, which is reasonable for a police department facility, we could actually have that building renovated. It would add value to the community. And that, I think, is a good sign that the city would be investing in Sunbury.
Well, Jody, I only have 100 other things to talk about, so please come back again in the weeks and months ahead. We'll continue to follow UPMC and the police facility and the comprehensive strategic opportunities that are there and your partnership forum and everything else, and we'll visit the new businesses that are in the downtown. We'll keep talking about all these important things. Jody, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Jody Auker, Sunbury's City Administrator.